You do not need the perfect homestead. You do not need land before you begin learning these skills. And some of the most important homesteading skills can be built from tiny spaces. The second you really begin looking into what homesteading actually is, you realize it has far less to do with acreage and far more to do with mindset, practical skills, preparedness, all of these skills. Remind you that you are more capable than society trained you ever to believe. One of the easiest, most life-changing places to begin homesteading is right in your kitchen. Hello, and welcome back to the Gubba Homestead Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. I discuss everything from homesteading to prepping and everything in between. Today's episode is one I truly think a lot of people need to hear right now because somewhere along the way, society convinced everyone that homesteading is only possible if you own acres of land, live in a giant farmhouse, milk cows at sunrise, and exist completely off-grid in the middle of nowhere. But the second you really begin looking into what homesteading actually is, you realize it has far less to do with acreage and far more to do with mindset, practical skills, preparedness, and reconnecting to the older ways of living that once made families more capable, more resilient, and far less dependent on fragile modern systems. Today, we are talking about the practical things you can be doing to homestead from absolutely anywhere, whether you live in an apartment, the suburbs, a rental home, or even on a few acres of land. We are going to dive into everything from growing food in small spaces and preserving food to traditional skills in the kitchen, preparedness, homemade products, herbal remedies, and why so many people right now feel this deep pull towards a slower, more intentional way of living. That's exactly how I felt a few years ago. And once you start pulling on this thread, you realize this conversation about homesteading becomes much bigger than gardening or sourdough bread. It becomes a conversation about self-reliance, food security, rising grocery prices, chronic health problems, modern dependency, and the growing feeling many people have that something about the way we are living does not feel sustainable anymore. So I want to share with you things that you can do to start homesteading today. Before we get into today's episode, I want to thank the sponsor of my podcast, which is my small skincare business, Arvati. One of my favorite products I make is my Homestead Blend Tallow Balm, because to me, it really captures the heart of homesteading, simple ingredients, old-fashioned skincare, and creating something nourishing instead of relying on shelves full of synthetic products and complicated ingredient labels. It is small batch made and inspired by the slower, more intentional lifestyle so many people are trying to return to right now. So if you want to give my Homestead Tallow Balm a try, you can check it out at arvati.com and it will be in the show notes. Now let's dive into what you can do to start homesteading today. One of the easiest, most life-changing places to begin homesteading is right in your kitchen. I say this all the time because modern food systems have somehow convinced people that cooking from scratch is difficult while simultaneously filling grocery store shelves with ultra-processed convenience foods loaded with preservatives, dyes, gums, artificial flavorings, and industrial oils. Meanwhile, our ancestors prepared nearly every meal from scratch because that was simply normal life. And if you think about it, the system does not want us cooking from scratch because when you're cooking from scratch, you are paying attention to the ingredients. They want you just mindlessly browsing the aisles in the grocery store, picking off the shelf the brightly colored boxes of whatever they have to offer with a million different ingredients. They don't want you paying attention to those individual ingredients. They want you paying attention to the keywords of, oh, 15 grams of protein, or oh, your total serving of grains for the day. A great source of vitamins and minerals. Because once you actually start paying attention to the ingredients, you realize those little keywords, those slogans on the front of those ultra processed packaged goop at the store do not mean anything. And it's actually just a bunch of poison in a pretty box. And I know this may feel overwhelming because I've been there. I was eating the convenience foods. I didn't really know how to cook from scratch. I had a handle on it, but I wasn't doing everything from scratch. And I can tell you, it actually saves you so much time because you can plan your meals in advance. And it saves you a lot of stress because you know exactly what's going in to your meal. And you don't have to be stressed out of which lab that ingredient came from. So one of the easiest DIY skills anyone can start with in the kitchen is making homemade broth, so you can save chicken bones, vegetable scraps, onion peels, for example, garlic ends, celery tops, carrot scraps in the freezer in a bag instead of throwing them away. So think about this. You have the leftover bones, the leftover scraps that were going to be tossed anyways. Don't do that because you can turn that into a super nutrient-dense broth for pennies on the dollar. This is one of the first things I started making in my kitchen because how easy is it to just save scraps from your meals and then turn it into something else that then can become an ingredient in your meals? So once the bag is full of scraps or bones, place everything into a large pot with water. Add a splash of apple cider vinegar because that is what is going to draw the nutrients from the bones. And then you can add herbs if you have them on hand. And then you just let it slowly simmer. I let it simmer overnight or up to 24 hours, and your entire kitchen will smell so good. And suddenly you have this nutrient-dense, mineral-rich, homemade broth almost just entirely from scraps for free. So not only will you have this whole amazing smelling broth in your kitchen, you can then take that broth and can it, and then you will have it preserved on your shelves. You can also freeze it for later use if you're not canning. And let me tell you, this will taste better than any broth you can buy in the store. So that one simple skill alone starts changing the way you think about food waste, nourishment, intentional cooking, and the incredible amount of value hidden inside things modern society taught us to discard. For example, I will take whole chickens and cook them in my Instant Pot, and then the carcass from that chicken, I will turn into broth. So not only am I making a meal with the chicken meat, I then am able to turn it into a broth. I especially love chicken broth because of all the gelatin. You can even toss in some chicken feet. I know that sounds crazy, but they are also nutrient dense into your broths if you want. Seriously, do not be sleeping on this. You can make broth pretty much for free with things we're told to just throw away. Another incredibly easy homesteading skill anyone can start from absolutely anywhere is growing sprouts right in your kitchen. So you do not need a garden, raised beds, or even outdoor space. All you need is a mason jar, sprouting seeds like broccoli, alfalfa, or radish. You need water and then a breathable lid or cheesecloth. Add the seeds to the jar, soak them overnight, then drain them and rinse them twice a day. So within just a few days, you suddenly have fresh, nutrient-dense sprouts growing right on your countertop. And it almost feels unbelievable the first time you do it because you realize how quickly food can be produced in such a tiny space with almost no equipment at all. And so skills like this completely just change the way we think about food production. So with the broth, you're thinking about food waste and how you're recycling food. And this, you become capable of growing nourishment for yourself in your own kitchen. And again, the system does not want us to know or believe that. My dad actually started growing sprouts in his kitchen, and I remember going over there and he showed me his setup and it was so cool. It's literally as simple as that. A jar, sprouts, breathable lid, you rinse them twice a day, and then you have these nutrient-dense sprouts that taste amazing, and you can put them in recipes, eat them. I know he liked them on sandwiches, and they have a lot of vitamins and minerals. So it's a super easy food that you can make. You could even make them as a snack for your chickens. I know people are starting to question chicken feed and what's going into it, rightfully so. You can make them sprouts and help supplement their feed. How cool is that? Another incredibly easy DIY kitchen skill is learning how to make simple sourdough discard recipes. So one reason sourdough has exploded online is because people are craving old food traditions again. They want bread with real ingredients instead of bread engineered to survive weeks on grocery store shelves. If full sourdough bread starts intimidating, start with something simple like sourdough brownies or dinner rolls. I'll have both of those recipes in the show notes for you. Seriously, you can taste the difference. Most of the bread that you'll pick up at the store, if you read the label, you're going to find the label that says made with bioengineered ingredients. There are so many ingredients in these loaves of bread. Should we even be calling it bread? It's like Frankenstein chemical mixture that looks like bread that's sitting on a grocery store shelf because it's loaded with junk to be able to sit there, right? And once you start eating this clean bread, whether it's sourdough or whether it's yeast, you're going to taste that difference. And when you go back to eat that bread from the store, you will taste the chemicals. At least I feel like I do. Like there's something just off once you have the real thing. And really, once you get your hands involved in your food and you're kneading your bread and you're watching it rise and it baking in the oven, and when it comes out and it's hot and you melt butter on the top of your loaf, you are becoming involved in your food. And the beautiful thing about sourdough is that once you begin, you realize bread is not supposed to be this complicated chemistry experiment packed with additives. It's supposed to be flour, salts, and just time. So if you don't have, again, a sourdough starter, I will link an easy sourdough starter recipe in the show notes for you though. You can use yeast. Yeast is super simple. I also have a yeast bread recipe tutorial where I show you what it looks like when the yeast blooms and how that works. Honestly, I'm just here for you to start making bread. You will feel amazing when you get yeast down and your first dough rises. Like there's just this magical feeling about it. I still remember when I was learning how to use yeast and it felt super daunting because you have to have the water warm. You got to put in a little sugar to wake up the yeast. It's not complicated. You know what's complicated? The chemical experiment sitting on the shelf at the grocery store. Just make bread. You are going to thank yourself for doing so. I love talking about these things that you can do because they have empowered me. These skills of learning how to make bread or how to can homemade broth. I feel so empowered now by being able to do these skills, and I know I'm going to carry on these skills because it only took a few generations for us to forget about these and become so dependent on the store. It's time to take our power back and start relearning these skills. So another incredible beginner skill in the kitchen is learning fermentation, because fermented foods are one of the oldest forms of food preservation in human history. Yet many people today have never even tried making them. So one of the easiest beginner projects is homemade sauerkraut. It's so good. So slice cabbage thinly, massage it with salt until liquid forms, and then pack tightly into jars and just let it ferment on the counter for a few days. It's literally that simple. Cabbage and salt and thyme. So I think now that I'm talking about this with you, the reoccurring theme is time. Like we are putting time into the bread rising. We're putting time into the sauerkraut fermenting. We're putting time into the broth filling up your kitchen with this amazing aroma. We are now in a society that is fast. You got to go fast. Your days are flying by. You got to get to work. You have no time. We need to take our power back and we need to slow down and reconnect with yourselves, because going back to even something as simple as a fermented food, something as simple as sauerkraut and just letting it ferment on the counter for a few days, you suddenly have a probiotic rich fermented food made from two ingredients. And fermentation reconnects people to those ancient food traditions that existed long before refrigeration and industrial processing. And they're so good for your gut. Another powerful skill you can begin from anywhere is preserving food. And honestly, this is one of the most important skills making a comeback right now, because we have rising grocery prices, we have the empty shelves during disruptions, and increasing awareness around food security have caused so many families to realize how fragile these modern supply chains really are. So one of the easiest preservation projects for beginners is just homemade freezer jam. It's yummy and it's easy, and you do not need expensive equipment. So you can just mash like fresh berries, like strawberries, mix with sugar and honey, add some lemon juice and freeze in jars. And suddenly you are preserving seasonal food instead of relying entirely on grocery stores year round. And so now that I am explaining some of these tasks, I think another theme is not only do we have this time investment where we are inundated with our attention elsewhere, so we feel like we can't slow down to take the time for ourselves, to nourish ourselves, but also the system wants us to think that these tasks are incredibly difficult. They're not. They're simple. You're saving the scraps. In the case of the freezer jam, you're mashing some berries, throwing in some sugar and lemon juice, and then putting it in the freezer. Have you ever had freezer jam? It is so good. So then right there, if your family eats jam, that's one less thing you have to depend on the grocery store for. And I think that's awesome. I think it is absolutely crucial for every family to slowly start building up this food storage, slowly start taking their health back into their hands, and learning real skills like food preservation. This is why I'm such a huge believer in learning canning skills specifically, because canning reconnects people to abundance, preparedness, and traditional food storage in a way that modern life has almost erased the system that just lives over us. There's something comforting about seeing rows of jars that you preserved yourself sitting on a shelf. It creates a sense of peace and capability that it's really hard to explain until you experience it. And when I share some of my food storage online, one of the most common comments I get is that, oh, I'm living in fear. No, it's actually quite the opposite. I have so much peace because I have invested into this food storage. I look and see the jars. Like, I just canned up, actually, I was on my rhubarb maxing era recently. I canned up rhubarb, barbecue sauce, strawberry rhubarb pie filling, and rhubarb pink lemonade. So, right, these aren't really like meals of sustenance. They're just extra odds and ends. But you know, if the world collapses, am I gonna wanna drink some rhubarb pink lemonade? You best believe I'm going to be drinking my rhubarb pink lemonade. And honestly, once people realize how easy canning actually is, I feel like they become obsessed. Or maybe I'm just speaking for myself, because you feel that empowerment. You feel that empowerment from preserving real food, and it tastes so good. And that is why I created a canning course, actually. So my Homestead Prepper's Guide to Canning. I want to make canning approachable for beginners instead of intimidating. So my course walks you through the process step by step so you can stop feeling overwhelmed and start building real preparedness skills from your own kitchen. So whether you want to preserve sauces or vegetables, broth, or other pantry staples, learning canning is one of the best investments you can make in your future self-reliance. Another thing with canning and how it helps you be self-sufficient. For example, I just got a half a cow and I filled my freezer. And I show this online, and one of the comments is, well, what are you going to do when the power goes out? All that's going to go bad when the power goes out. Yes, it absolutely will. But you know what I'm doing? I'm canning a lot of that meat. So I actually just got 10 whole chickens from a local farm. Amazing people, and they raised it all pasture, all natural, everything. And I love supporting local. Anyways, what I'm going to do with those chickens is I am going to thaw them. I'm then going to can up all the meat and then use the carcasses for bone broth. So it's really neat. So I'm investing into this whole chicken and I get multiple products from it. So canning is what is going to save me if the power goes out. You think I'm just going to rely on the freezer that is connected to the grid? Absolutely not. So another incredibly valuable and rewarding homesteading skill is learning how to make homemade household products. So most people are starting to question ingredients more than ever before because they are realizing how chemically saturated our modern lives are and how they've become. So one of the easiest DIY projects is homemade all-purpose cleaner. So this is what I do. You fill a jar with citrus peels, cover with white vinegar, let it sit for 2 weeks, and then just dilute with water in a spray bottle. Suddenly, you have an all-natural cleaner that is chemical-free, not going to cause any side effects, you know, like seizures in animals, or affect your lungs. How amazing is that? And it's going to smell good and clean the place. Vinegar is seriously amazing. I use it for so much when I'm cleaning up my homestead. Another easy beginner project is homemade beeswax candles. So all you do is melt beeswax pellets, pour into jars with cotton wicks, and let cool. So not only do beeswax candles smell incredible, but they reconnect you to those older traditions before synthetic fragrances and paraffin candles became the standard. I love making candles because I keep bees. I'm not sure if you know this, but I have some hives and I have now for 4 years. I'm going into my fourth year of beekeeping and I collect wax. Bees give you so many products. And because I get such an abundance of wax, I melt it, strain it, and then I turn it into candles and I don't have to worry about what I'm inhaling. And also then, if you're looking at this full big picture, those candles will tie into your self-preparedness because then you can have emergency candles if the power goes out. So see how all these things start playing together? Homesteading is amazing and I could talk about this all day. So speaking about preparedness, that is another valuable skill. Anyone can begin from anywhere because preparedness used to be mocked online heavily, but recent years changed that for a lot of people. We had the empty shelves, the shipping delays, rising prices, natural disasters, and uncertainty, which caused millions to rethink their dependence on the just-in-time system. So one easy preparedness thing that you can do is building that rotating food storage and that rotating pantry. If there is one thing you're going to take away from this podcast, listening to me talk about homesteading and hearing my passion about homesteading, it is this. Build a food storage today. So you do not have to be at the grocery store scrambling for the last bag of dried beans. Do you remember just a few years ago when we were at the grocery stores following the arrows around the aisles, having to triple mask up for what? The leftover dried beans and people were fighting over and then, you know, you had the worker at Walmart in a scooter chasing you around if your mask wasn't up over your nose. I don't know about you, but I never want to experience that ever again. So this is another area in my homesteading that brings me so much peace is being prepared. With all the things going on, there's always something to grab our attention. I don't feel scared because I'm prepared. I don't even have to leave my house to go get food or any supplies because I'm ready. Like I mentioned, I just got a cow. I'm working on canning that. I'm filling up my pantry. I'm ensuring that I can eat and I never have to scramble to Walmart. And remember too, during that when all the mom and pop shops were closed, but you could go to Walmart and be jammed in with everybody. Oh, wow. That really woke me up and that will never be me. And I don't want it to ever be you either. So please start building a food storage out of all this. And here is how you can do that. Every grocery trip, buy 2 extra shelf-stable items and organize them by expiration date. And so over time, you quietly build food security without panic buying. And another great beginner project is creating a simple emergency power outage kit. So with candles, flashlights, water filters, matches, batteries and backup cooking methods, because preparedness, again, it's not about fear. It is about reducing your vulnerability and increasing that peace of mind. I'm telling you, I feel so much peace. I share videos online of like five things you can prep today so you're ready. And I think the recent one I did that, I shared I have a camping stove, which is just an alternate way of cooking with propane. So what you want to do with your supplies is get out and test them. And that's what I was doing in this video, is I was getting out, making sure things were topped off. Like I have a water jug, which I rotate my water out periodically. I check my camp stove just to make sure that I am good to go. I know how to use it. I'm read up on it. I also have some walkie-talkies that I will refresh my memory of how to use. The last thing that you want to do, besides not having anything at all and you're scrambling to the store, is not knowing how to use your supplies, not knowing where your supplies are at. Have a system. Be organized. I also have resources for this. I love preparedness. I love prepping. And it's so crazy because this was like, prepping was a meme a while ago. And then I feel like everybody saw like, hey, those preppers, they're not so crazy after all. The other comment that I get in regards to prepping is, you don't want to share this. You're going to be the first one, you know, who's going to be targeted. So let's back up and think about this for a moment. So the people who didn't prepare think that they would just be able to go and take things from people who did prepare. Like, just think about that for a moment. So if somebody's taking the time to prepare food, supplies, of course they are taking the time to prepare wherever they live or their property. So I always find that humorous when people are like, oh, I'm just going to waltz on in and take what you have. Like, good luck going for any prepper in that situation. If that is your plan, I feel sorry for you. You're probably not even going to make it up the road or up the driveway of any person who has actually prepped, because they are thinking of that situation. They are forward thinking. They are not reacting. Like, that is just a reaction to the current situation. They already thought years in advance. They already saw you coming down the driveway and you won't be making it far. So seriously, all of these skills remind you that you are more capable than society trained you ever to believe. So every loaf of bread you bake and every jar of food you preserve, every meal you cook from scratch, every homemade product you create quietly is building that confidence and that security. And honestly, I think that is one reason homesteading resonates so deeply right now. Beneath all the sourdough videos and the canning reels and the gardening tutorials and the cozy farmhouse aesthetics, people are searching for something deeper. They are searching for connection. So that connection to their food again, connection to nature and to have purpose, and just to that slower rhythm of living that humans followed for thousands of years before convenience quietly crept in and just disconnected us. If you think about it, it only took a few generations. Like, my great grandma was canning and she had a whole pantry full of canned food. And then my grandma was still doing things from scratch, but, you know, started sourcing from the grocery store. That's when the grocery stores came in. And then my parents, that generation, I believe, was hit the hardest with the microwaves and the processed foods and the convenience. And then my generation is kind of the generation that's like, whoa, back up. Like, that ultra convenience food being warmed up in the microwave, I don't think that's the best thing for me. Hey, like, gardening is actually pretty cool. Like, I want to feel connected to my food. I want to know where it comes from. So I think there's this natural return to our roots happening right now. And on top of, we just experienced a big shift in 2020 and 2021 that made us realize that we are depending on systems that can fail overnight. Instantly. And nobody wants to be at the grocery store fighting someone over a bag of beans. And the beautiful thing about all of this is that none of it requires perfection. You do not need to be perfect in the kitchen. You do not need the perfect homestead. You do not need land before you begin learning these skills. And some of the most important homesteading skills can be built from tiny spaces and just with tiny steps. So that mason jar with sprouts, a loaf of sourdough bread, that shelf filled with canned foods, a homemade tallow balm, a batch of homemade broth. It's like these things seem small, but together they completely change the way you live and think. And I am experiencing this because I didn't grow up this way. I had to learn all of this. And I still remember 6 years ago, I was talking to one of my friends just later in the day. We were just chatting and they were like, oh, like, what are you up to? You know, what kind of things you got going on? And I was like, I want to learn how to homestead. I want to stop watching less TV and start learning real skills. And I remember they were like, oh, okay. You know, because it seemed crazy. And now here I am just a few years later, and this is my life, and I love it, and I feel so strong and capable, and I want everybody to feel like this. I want you to feel like this, because I think this is how we take down the system, is by opting out of the system, by going to our community and building a strong community, like how I just supported a local farm by getting a cow and some chicken. And I'm securing my food sources and I'm growing food. It is so powerful. And I want you to know you can do this from anywhere, wherever you're at right now, you can do this from. So I want to say thank you so much for listening and my rants and my enthusiasm. I hope it wasn't too overboard. I love talking about this because it has changed my life. And after what we all went through in 2020, I don't want to deal with that ever again. I don't think we should have to go through that. And this is the way to do that. This is the way to opt out and say, nope, I'm not fighting granny for wearing a mask at the local Walmart and following arrows for a bag of beans. So again, thank you so much for hanging out and for being here. I appreciate your time and I hope you have the most amazing day. And until I see you next time, let me know if you try any of these things and how they go for you. I will be so excited to hear. And again, have an amazing day. Bye.